is. We can have joy because he loves us. We can have joy. And today, let us express our joy by just affirming his word. Our work from the scripture today is from Ezekiel, starting in the 11th chapter. We're going to skip around a little bit, but we start 11th chapter, 2nd verse. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them heart of flesh. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, oh, Lord, help us to grasp your truth. Help us to understand what you are saying to us. Help us to get it. Sometimes we just want to know what is it you are really saying to us. Help us to be the men and women that you have called, and help us to love you and to show your truth in a way that gives glory to your name. Thank you for being here with us this day as we worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Angels, listen. The herald is singing. Listen. God has a word for us. Listen, because right now, everything is focused on us knowing that the Son has come. You pray with me. Dear Lord, help us to hear your call today. Help us to grasp your truth today. Help us to get it. Help us to know that we know that we know we have been in the presence of the living God, and that you have come to call us to yourself. And we are grateful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're looking at the book of Ezekiel in the 11th chapter. And really, whenever you're doing one of these Old Testament books, and we're doing a big book, and I'm only doing little pieces out of it instead of going through verse by verse, which I really like to do, It's there's so much of the story to grab, so much that is going on here that we need to understand. This is sometimes extremely challenging in the way that we approach this. Think of it. This Ezekiel is having this vision, and he's with a bunch of leaders, and there he is, and suddenly he's having this amazing vision, something that would take your breath away. And he's, all these other people are sitting around, and he's seeing himself transported into something that is more amazing than he could ever explain. He's seeing stuff that is wild. And in all of this, he hears what God wants to say to his people. And the challenge here with us is that as we're saying this, as we're talking about this, we are recounting this account of the work of God here. But we want to find a way to take what the principles that are explained here and the things that are done here and transfer them as well as we can to how we're living today. And when I began to attempt to do that, when I began to understand how this all related to us, it left me stunned. It left me shaken, actually. I was studying, and yesterday I come down the stairs fully dressed and ready to go out, and Betty says, "What? What's going on? You know, where you going?" I just got to go do something, because this was a bit more than I could grasp. It was something that even now I hope that I'm able to explain, hope that I'm able to show, and that we'll get it. You see, sometimes we don't relate the Bible to our everyday life. You know, we think the Bible is for those people back then. Or we think the Bible is doesn't somehow apply to us. But if we know Jesus Christ, are we the people of God? If we know him, if we've confessed with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are his called people, people that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. And now he wants us to grasp his truth so that we might live on through eternity with him, glorifying his name forever. We are his people, and he speaks to us through this word of God that is quick and powerful. I mean, it's alive, it's real, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to understand this, sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing joint and marrow. It's able to get in between the supporting things and the things that bring life. It's able to make a difference in us. And so we need to realize we are a people of the book. But if we're going to be a people of the book, we need to understand what the book is saying. We need to let this word dwell in us richly. We need to chew on this thing, meditate on this thing, think about this. Because what it says means life or death. I'm afraid we live in a time where those of us who are supposed to be sharing the word of God aren't necessarily doing as good a job as we should. Because we're afraid to say the truth about what we see around us. Think about it. If Ezekiel has said, "Nah, I can't say that, Lord. That's a little too tough. They might hurt me." Well, let's see what he says, and you'll see what I mean. Starting at verse 2 in chapter 11. "Then said he unto me, Son of man," this son of Adam, this one who came out of the line of Adam, this son of man, this one who was chosen by God, this son of man, "these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city." Listen, if you look around long enough, you will see that there are people that give wicked counsel in this city. They give wicked counsel, even from the pulpit. They give wicked counsel from the halls of government. They give wicked counsel from the bars. They give wicked counsel from so many different ways. And he was showing Ezekiel these people. He said unto me, "Son of man, these are men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near. Let us build houses." There's a lot of different ways that you could look at these verses because of other parts of the Bible. But in essence, this is saying that you don't have to worry. You're going to be okay if you are with me. You're going to be okay. We got this thing. Don't you worry about this. In fact, let me give you this wonderful illustration. He says, "This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh." Sin will make you stupid. You know, that's one of my favorite sayings over here. Sin will make you stupid. They just went to Ezekiel and they were saying, "Listen, we're okay. Everything's all right. I mean, we've got protection against the fires of the world that are burning all around us. We've got protection against COVID. We've got protection against tornadoes. We've got protection against rain and wind and snow and anything else that might come. We've got protection. See? Ding, ding, ding. We're inside of this cauldron. And the fires are burning on the outside." Think about that just for a moment. There's fire burning on the outside and you are safely inside a cauldron. You know what a cauldron is? It's a pot. And you are the choice piece of meat. And slowly the temperature's rising. Slowly the temperature's rising till one day your butt is cooked. Cooked. And sometimes I think we are being cooked and we don't even know it. And in fact, we look around and say, "Look, everything's okay. It's nice and warm in here. I'm taking care of the fires outside. It's not messing with me. A little warm, but I'm all right." They really actually said that. This city is the cauldron. Our Jerusalem is the cauldron. The place that we are is the cauldron. Maybe First Baptist Church is the cauldron, and we're safe inside of here, and we be the flesh. And the Spirit said, "Therefore prophesy against them. Tell these idiots the truth. Prophesy against them Prophesy, O Son of Man. We're going to skip down to verse 14. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, you know, let me not skip over it. Verse 13. I want to step back to verse 13. And it came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? I look around. People are dying. I hope you understand that. That people are dying. I think there are those that would tell you that if you just do the ABC, that the CDF or E or whatever, I can't even do my alphabet anymore. But that there's some way for you to escape from the reality of life. There's some way for you to get away from this. There are some ways that this doesn't include you. You'll never have a loved one that dies. You'll never have an accident. No sickness will touch in your house. Nothing like that will ever happen to you if you just follow what Pastor Gray says. You just do what I say, you'll be fine. Those pains that you feel, that just means you just don't have enough faith. You need to get your faith together. I look around and I see people die in pain. Ravaged communities, hurting. What was it like? What was it like to be there working and your whole building explode around you? So, verse 14, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get ye far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Sometimes we can make the mistake saying to everybody else out there, y'all going to hell. We can make the mistake saying, you just stay away from us. It's us four and no more. We're gonna be in this little place and we'll be protected and we'll be okay because we've got this, we've got that, we've done this, we'll do that. Sometimes we can be just like they were in those days saying, ha, we're the ones that are okay. Even though God has said do something a little bit different, even though God has said get out of your little hole and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've said let us pull ourselves together into our little fortress and protect ourselves. Let us keep ourselves. When God says go spend yourself, God says get out of your hole. You are not to be there. You are not to be in this safe place. We are looking for safety when we should not be looking for safety. We need to be looking for God. We need to be following after Him. We need to be doing what He would have us do, the way He would have us do it, where He would have us do it. It's time for us to be out. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God. although I have cast them far off among the heathen, even though there are some that are just out sharing the good news, that they're out being who they're supposed to be, among the heathen, although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. How's that, Lord? Your sanctuary was in this particular place. This is where your presence was. Oh, no, not anymore. You see, now his presence is with you. If you know him, his presence is with you. Everywhere you go, his presence is with you. He wants to give you a sanctuary. The Spirit of the living God wants to protect you. The Spirit of the living God wants you to know that he is with you, but he is with you everywhere that you go, that he has told you to go. I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and will assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. I will give you the place of the people of God. I will give that to you. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. We worship so many things. We worship money. If I just have enough money, I can take care of everything. If I just have the right mate, I can take care of everything. Maybe if I just have a little piece of land, I can take care of everything. We worship all kinds of ridiculous things that cannot keep us. We worship sex. We worship money. We worship foolishness. We worship our phones. Some of you right now, like, oh, I just had a notification. I wonder if I can look without him seeing me. No, you can't. I see you. Where's my phone? I was feeling for it, but anyway. It's amazing how much has got our attention. It's amazing how much we've been grabbed by the stuff of this world. It's amazing how obedient we are to stuff that we say we don't care anything about. We need to understand what idolatry really is. Anytime it causes you to give more attention to it than to God, it's an idol. Your children can be an idol. Your stuff can be an idol. I know some people, they get a little scratch on their car. It's like a major thing. They're wondering, do I need to rob my 401k to get a new paint job? I won't go there. Just meddling, right? And they shall come thither and shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart. So often we have divided hearts. Hearts that are fully for this and fully for that at the same time, and you can't be fully for both. Sometimes you just don't know, okay, you just go back and forth, you flip up, you can't make a decision. You know, in sports, decisive people do better. You know, the guy who will take the quick shot, the guy who will make the decisive cut, if you are speaking of cuts, if you're a woodcutter, you make the decisive cut. You don't just noodle, you decide and you do. We need to have a single-minded heart that we are going to follow after the Lord, come hell or high water. We have to make a choice. You can't be half in and half out. You can't straddle the fence all your life. You can't do that. You'll hurt yourself. And you'll hurt others. Have an undivided heart. That's what God wants to give you. He wants to give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. A spirit that gives you courage. A spirit that gives you strength. A spirit that you can know will lead you to life, that will allow you to be with Him forever. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. Some of our hearts are so unresponsive to God that we don't know when God is speaking to us anymore. We don't know if we've heard Him. We don't know if He will do. We don't know. And we need to be praying, Lord, give us a responsive heart. Lord, give us a responsive heart. I want to know You. I want to know what You're saying. I want to have an undivided mind, an undivided heart that's focusing in on You. I don't want this stone. I want a heart of flesh that beats for You. That beats for You. He will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in My statutes. You see, it gets easier to follow after God's truth once you have a heart that is responsive to Him. And keep My ordinances. It's easier to do His will. And when you do His will, you will find that they shall be My people and I will be their God. It will be clear to God, to me, and to everyone around me that I am His. See, you should have no problem with people knowing who you are. I have no problem with people knowing that I am Betty's husband. There is no one else I need or want. But more importantly, my Father in heaven is my God. There is no one else I need or want. What about you? Are you controlled by the world? Are you controlled by the stuff around you? Or are you only responsive to the voice of our Lord? Verse 21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abomination, I will recompense, pay them back their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. I would like to say that all of the bad stuff that we see happen, oh, it's just Satan. I would like to see and say that anything that goes on, that couldn't come from God. But then I read Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Revelation. This is the hope that I want to give you today. God is not playing with us. He loves us. He cares for us. And He will keep us throughout eternity. But He is not some toy. He is not someone to be fiddled with. Either He is God or He is not. And do not expect His protection, His keeping, if you will not obey Him. He chastises everyone He loves. And He loves me. And He loves you. And He also blesses us. I want you to be blessed. So this is your day. In your heart, confess your sin. Confess your distraction. You confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yeah, there may be some consequences, but you'll make it past that. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will be clean. Today is the day to say no more halfway. No more only serving Him when it's convenient. Release yourself to Him this day. He sees you. He sees all you do. And the amazing thing is He loves you anyway. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You would draw us to Yourself this day. I confess my sin. And I confess my need for a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. His blood was spilled, and that blood paid the penalty of my sin and of the sin of all those who will confess His name, all those who have heard Your call, all those who have responded to You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for saving us. Now, Lord, help us to live in a way that we honor You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is moving on your heart, make sure You speak to someone today. He wants to draw you into a deeper, fuller relationship that is rich. And much happier than this sermon may have sounded.